Thank you. It really is a joy to be here. When I arrived, I met Judy, and she said to me, "Philip, they showed your video in a meeting just a few days ago." And I thought, good. And she said, "You looked awful." Oh. She said, "I looked awful." I said, "Oh, so people thought you were sick." And I thought, well, I didn't think it was that bad, but apparently it was. So I'm here as a testimony. Firstly, I'm not sick. And secondly, I need help with my video skills. And so now that we've sorted that out. As Linda shared, and many of you know, part of the calling that we've had and I've had has actually been to just to help people grow in understanding the Word, and been a leader in multiplying Bible training around the world. And in these last 6 weeks, I found myself on three different continents, and the schools are often running in sync, and it so happened that the students were studying the book of Isaiah. Just interested that we had Isaiah this morning. You know, Isaiah means Yahweh is salvation. That's his name. And you'll know, many of you, that that really is the overall message of this remarkable book, this profound prophet. In the first part of the book, the prophecies are really around two kings. And these kings both needed salvation. The salvation they needed was from physical enemies. The first one, his name was Ahaz. He was a young king of, 20, 21 years old. And the two nations to the north of him, the kings of those nations, they actually wanted to attack him, kill him, and put someone in his place. Now, just imagine a 21, 22-year-old having to carry that burden. And as you read Isaiah, you read how God was so gracious to Ahaz. God called Isaiah and said, "Isaiah, I want you to take your son. I want you to go and meet Ahaz." And this is the message. Don't be frightened of those two kings, which are just lumps of burning wood. Because I will protect you. I will deliver you. But you have to have faith in me. You have to trust me. Sadly, as the scripture and as history bears out, this king chose to trust his own devices and his own plans. And that it was a disastrous solution, both for him and his people. The tragedy of Ahaz. The second was his son. His name was Hezekiah. And likewise, there was the tremendous pressure. It was actually the superpower at the time, Assyria. And Assyria had come and wreaked so much destruction. And they came to Jerusalem. And the Assyrians surrounded Jerusalem. And one of them, the general, he came and he started mocking Hezekiah and mocking God and mocking everything that was happening. And what Hezekiah did, unlike his father, was he turned and he sought the Lord. And Isaiah came to him with that word of God's deliverance. And both the Bible and history bears out the fact that God delivered him in an absolutely remarkable way. Both had the challenge of faith. One trusted and the other didn't. As you continue through this book, you get to the second part, and this is what makes Isaiah so remarkable, because Isaiah begins to prophesy to the people 150 years into his future. Talk about the supernatural knowledge of God. And this prophetic word was there, and when you go 150 years, you find Judah in that place of desperately needing salvation, because the whole city of Jerusalem had been destroyed and the people had been taken into exile. And there they were, a refugee people, a broken people. And then the words that Isaiah spoke had such tremendous significance, because Isaiah, these words that were spoken, began to reassure this people that God had not forsaken them, that God had not given up on them, that there was a future. And this is the part of Isaiah, if we read Isaiah, this is the bit we like, because it has all the nice bits in it, you know. Isaiah 41, "But Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen you and not cast you off." And you get these many scriptures that talk about the affirmation of God and the fact that Israel is still his servant and he still has a purpose and a future. And there was salvation coming, but this is what's so marvelous, because as you read Isaiah, this part of Isaiah through, you begin to realize that actually the salvation that is needed is far deeper than just salvation from an invading army or the salvation from exile, because the reason these are a problem in the first place is because of human sinfulness. And Isaiah begins to talk about how God has a solution for the real problem, not just the issues around. And in a way that is so marvelous, the servant that Isaiah speaks about, he talks about Israel, my servant. But as you read it, you begin to think, but surely that's talking about an individual. Isn't this talking about an individual? And what you discover is that it is. Because as you read, you find that there's the servant of the Lord. And this servant that emerges in the prophecies of Isaiah becomes in his own self the fulfillment of everything Israel was destined to be. And you find these words written, for example, that this servant would be one that brings Israel back to the Lord in Isaiah 49. But not only will this servant be the one that brings Israel back to the Lord, but it goes on to say this same servant will be a light to the nations, that salvation may reach the ends of the earth. And then in a most astonishing passage, we find that this servant becomes not just the servant who is going to declare the Lord to the nations, but he's going to be the one who suffers for the nations and for the people. And we read such things, and you'll be familiar with this, that this servant was wounded for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. And that he would be the righteous one. My servant shall make many righteous and bear their iniquities. Now, Isaiah, along with the Psalms, really is one of the Old Testament passages that has so much to say about the nations. But after this passage, it's almost like this goes on overdrive, because there's so many references now to the fact that God is a God of all the nations. You come past Isaiah 53 to 54, and it talks about Jerusalem, and there's going to be the need to enlarge Jerusalem. and she that was barren is going to have many children. And you come to Isaiah 55 and the cry is, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Verse 5, you shall see the nations that do not know you, and nations that do not know you shall run to you. And you see in Isaiah 60 that the nations shall come to your light and the kings to the brightness of your dawn. But there's one reference that to me is so remarkable. In Isaiah 56, there's a message that says, do not let the foreigner say, I have no place in you. And do not let the eunuch say, I have no place in you. What's the eunuch got to do with it? Well, if you go all the way back to Deuteronomy 23, there's two classes of people that are not going to, that the Deuteronomy says, are not permitted into the assembly of the Lord. And one is the unfortunate man who has his testicles crushed, is what it says. Not the sort of thing we talk about much in church, but that's what it says. And so this unfortunate person, for whatever reason, and of course there's reasons for all of these things, but also there's a whole list of foreigners that were not allowed into the assembly of the Lord. And here we see Isaiah reversing all of that, because now the way was open for the nations. It was open for all peoples. And friends, it has to be significant that when you come to the Acts of the Apostles, the very first non-Jewish person to be baptized was an African eunuch. The way was open. The way was open for all people. Friends, as we gather around this table, we're celebrating and thanking God. We're actually becoming part of the story, the unfolding story of God's redemption of the earth. And sometimes we can forget that actually all of us, or almost all of us, are the very Gentiles that Isaiah spoke about. Maybe we have some Jewish believers here, which would be wonderful, but probably most of us are not. And we are testimony to the fact that the prophetic word of Isaiah has come true. That's us. But what it tells us as we come round this table, it reminds us that God continues to love the nations. And even as we have the painful thing of seeing this nation and so much of the Western world walking away, it's like every day you read something else that's of an abandoning the roots that we've had. Even as we see that happening, we have to know that in so many nations, so thousands and thousands are coming to Christ. Actually, Jesus is winning. It really is. And so much that we need to continue to call out to God for us in Europe who've abandoned the roots and the very foundation that has given us so many of the good things that we take for granted today. Praise God for the way the church is growing in so many places. Continue to pray for this and lands like ours. But of course, there's still many that haven't heard. And just thank God that there's those who are targeting and they're planning and they're strategizing. And we come along with their prayers and support in whatever God has called us to do in this particular service. And so that's a short trip through Isaiah. And what it does is it leads us to the table and it leads us to the nations.